That was great. Thank you, Hikari. And so you have your bulletins, and on the front you see a picture of a guy that looks like Waldo. Who remembers Waldo? Yeah. Who has ever found Waldo? All right, we've got some smart people in the room. So Waldo actually used to be. It started out being called Wall-E, and it's a British series of children puzzle books, right? You remember those? And the English illustrator Martin Hanford put them together, and he put together these books that consisted of all these different details. And there's just kind of a picture right there, but they had all these details, and you were supposed to find this kind of geeky-looking guy with round glasses and a hat that's red-striped. And the author actually would put different things in the pictures that would look like his hat, but it wasn't him. And so the author would hide Waldo in the group of pictures. I don't think you can find Waldo in this one because it's not the whole picture, but there is someone that looks like Waldo down at the bottom that has some cotton candy in her hand. So the author put him in there and put a hat on, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a challenge. And so I'm going to do something. I'm going to give you a little challenge. It's not very challenging. It's pretty simple. But there are three chairs today. Underneath your chair, there's a piece of paper, and that piece of paper has a picture on it. So there's three chairs. Reach under your chair and see if you can find a piece of paper. Three lucky winners will get a candy bar. Anybody find one? You found? Who is that? Jesus. All right. Do you want this kind or this kind? This kind. There you go. You can keep the picture of Jesus. There's one over here, and there's one under one of these chairs. All right. Did someone find Jesus over here? Oh, you found Jesus. Do you want this chocolate or this chocolate?
Oh, I have a choice.
You have a choice. Okay. And then Yvonne, all right. Okay. That one or that one? Okay. All right. My point is that Jesus is easier to find than we think. That Jesus is present. That you may be struggling in life. That you may not see Jesus, but He is present. And so this next few 10 weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus, finding Jesus in the Old Testament. There's a picture, of another funny picture here. It looks kind of like a far side, but it's not. It's a picture of two. You might say they're Mormons, but two guys come to the door and they're saying to this person, "Have you found Jesus?" Right? Does anybody know where Jesus is in this picture? Have you found him? On the right side, back by the window, there's a Jesus kind of hidden behind the curtains, behind the drapes. Do you see him now? Okay. Well, Jesus is there. So how do we find Jesus? Well, simple statement, you look for him. One of the churches denomination that we're in, I don't know if it was the Christian Mission Alliance statement or if it was the church that we were in, but the statement was to know Christ and to make him known. To know Christ and to make him known. So my guess is most of us in this room, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And so really it's not this session of 10 weeks is not to prove that Jesus is the Christ to you. It is to know Christ and to make him known. Just like Hikari went to Auckland or New Zealand, whatever, and she went deeper in her knowing Christ. And so that's what I hope that we can look at. these next 10 weeks. So today is just an overview, just kind of the priming the pump. And so if you look at Jeremiah 29:11, you know that verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." But how many of you know the next verse or the next verse after that? Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Right? When we seek Jesus, when we look for Jesus, we find him. And so we're going to look at the Old Testament, and hopefully the Old Testament will come alive to you, because we're going to look for Jesus in the Old Testament, and he's there. Luke 11:9-10 is also a well-known verse. You know this. Ask, right? Seek. You will find. Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Jesus was talking about him, himself, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the kingdom of God. He is the king of that kingdom. And so Jesus is present not just in our hearts, but he is present. He is present in history. He is present today. He is present in the future, in our hope and dreams of what the future will hold. And so as we look at this next 10 weeks, it'll bring us to Advent. And Advent, of course, is all about Jesus coming to this earth, and we'll probably get to the last week, and the last week will be on Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote about the Messiah coming. This is the Old Testament now. He wrote about Jesus coming 700 years before Christ was even born. And so there is evidence of Jesus. There is pointing to Jesus in the Old Testament. And so if you grew up in church, most of us did. If you went to Sunday school, most of us did. You probably learned stories that had practical purposes to that, right? Some of the Old Testament stories. Adam and Eve. When we heard the story of Adam and Eve, what did we learn? We learned that we should not listen to the devil's lies, right? The serpent told lies. Adam and Eve believed the lies, and then they got in trouble, and there were consequences, right? So that was one of the lessons we learned from Adam and Eve. Another lesson we learned was from Noah, to obey God. And when we obey God and stand firm in his truth, we are saved. We stand firm in that. Also, we learned from Abraham that if we are willing to sacrifice what is most precious to us, then that is a good thing. We learn from Jacob that we should expect that there is consequences for our deceit. Right? So some of these come back to you. When we heard the story of Joseph, we learned that we should run from temptation. And these are all good practical stories, truths. And we can apply it to our lives. But most of our life, we've been told or taught that the Old Testament is a series of life lessons and faith lessons, right? And those are good things. That its main characters are held up as heroes to imitate, or villains to hate. And so I knew that the Old Testament spoke of Christ, but mostly it was about the prophecies. Mostly it was about coming Messiah. I did not see more than that at first. And at first, the Old Testament is telling us these stories, but there is more in there, just like the Where's Waldo picture, than you think. And so when we look at the Old Testament, it is preparing us When we look at the Old Testament in a deeper way, it is preparing us to understand who Christ is and why He came. And what He came to do. Now, the people in the Old Testament, they, at first, when I was a kid, I read these stories and I thought they were these superheroes and all that. And I realized that they were people just like you and I. That they were people who had flaws. That they were people that had imperfections and people who had limitations. And the reason why these stories become real to us and we realize that they're not superheroes is because there is only one superhero that we need. That they point to that superhero, that person named Jesus. And so at first, when you look at the Old Testament, perhaps you didn't see that Jesus is the offspring of the woman in Genesis who will crush the head of the serpent. That Jesus is the ark, we talked about that in July, that protects the faithful remnant from judgment. And that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the blessings promised to Abraham. And that Jesus is the greater Isaac. And Jesus is the beloved son of his father, offered as a sacrifice, who was not spared from the knife. And Jesus is the stairway Jacob saw in his dream on which God comes down to earth. And Jesus is the greater Joseph, the one whose suffering put him in place to become Savior to all who come to him for food, who are in famine and desperate need in this world. And those are just from Genesis, the book of Genesis. We've got the rest of the Old Testament. I mean, Jesus is the reality of which all the sacrifices, all the offerings, all the festivals that point to Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the tabernacle and the temple, making his home among us. Jesus is the greater Moses who brings his people out of slavery, from sin to freedom. He is the greater Israel who is not disobedient in the wilderness. He is the greater son of David whose kingdom will last forever. He is the greater Solomon who is the Prince of Peace. He is the weeping prophet. He is the greater Jonah who runs toward sinners rather than away from them. He is the bride and groom. He is the branch. And he is Isaiah's child who is born. So these things that I just told you about Jesus, those are just some of what the Old Testament points to. You see, the New Testament points to the Old Testament, and the Old Testament points to the New. They are together, and they're not just a bunch of stories, but they are pointing to the Messiah. And so as we unravel this, as we look at some of the things, we'll look at Adam and we'll look at Abraham and things like that. We'll see how they represent or point to Jesus. And so when we look at the New Testament, when we look at the stories of written from Acts and the rest of the New Testament, we realize that those who learned how to read the Old Testament from Jesus went on to present the gospel of Jesus in the same way he did. Not beginning from his birth or his teaching or even the death or resurrection, but beginning with the Old Testament. This is how we will seek to discover Jesus. So, to know Christ and to make him known. So, anybody know the word typology? Anybody? The word typology, you think of the word type. excuse me. Typology. Typology is a study, interpretation of types, of symbols. And it is in the Bible that we see a type of Christ. So next week we'll talk about Adam. And in Romans it talks about Adam being the first Adam and Jesus being the second Adam. And Adam was a type of Christ. He was a picture of the Christ to come. And then there's some things that are similar and there's some things that are contrasted. Because Adam is the first sinner and Jesus is the one who saves us from sin, who has never sinned. And so that we'll look at those. So that's typology. When you look at the Old Testament and you see symbols and types that point to Jesus. Okay, I'll throw out another word for you. You can put it in your pocket and use it this next week in your conversations, okay? Theophany. Theophany. Theo is God. Theology is the study of God, right? So theophany is a manifestation of God in the Bible that is tangible to the human senses. So we're going to look at angels, and we know that there are times in the Old Testament that the angel of the Lord appeared. And our senses, the person that saw the angel, their senses were able to see and hear and understand a message from the angel of the Lord. Well, angel of the Lord sometimes is referring to someone else. Remember what we're talking about? His name's Jesus. He appears as a theophany. If you wanted to get more technical, it's a Christophany because it's Christ. Okay, so you can put that in your pocket. You can use it. Put it in a sentence this week, okay? And talk to someone and sound real, real important, right? So we read the stories of the physical Messiah in the New Testament, and we hear the testimonies of him who through the writings. But what did Jesus say about himself in the Old Testament? Jesus said about Jesus in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you a few verses this morning, and then we'll just end it that with that. But Luke 4, 16 through 21, Jesus is speaking, or this is what's going on with Jesus, okay? Verse 16 through 21 of Luke 4. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and to recover and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and then he began to say to them, 'Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" So Jesus takes the mic and he drops it. Right? Jesus takes the mic and he reads Isaiah 61 and he rolls it up, and they're waiting for him to say more. Just to interpret it or do something. And what does he say? He says, "Today I have just fulfilled it." And he drops the mic. And everybody in the room is just like it's silent, right? Everybody's asking the question, what is he talking about? What is Jesus doing here? He is saying that he is the fulfillment of all that was written in the Old Testament, including Isaiah 61. Boom, he just fulfilled it. And so when Isaiah wrote about Jesus, he said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he wrote about Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled it, and it was done. It was, let's drop the mic, right? So Jesus continues. In John 5, 39, he has this conversation with the religious leaders. And he says to them, you study the Scriptures diligently, hoping that you will find salvation in the Scriptures, that you will find eternal life in that. And he says, these are the very Scriptures that testify about me. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying you're not going to find life in the Scriptures. I'm the life, and the Scriptures point to me. So he's basically shifting gears for these people that are religious thinkers, and they're thinking that it's all about the Old Testament and it's all about following the rules. And Jesus turns the page and says, look, this is written and it's all pointing to me and I've fulfilled it. He is pointing to himself. He is saying, look, Jesus is the answer. And so all the way from the Old Testament to Genesis to Malachi, the whole Old Testament, he's saying this bears witness to me, Jesus. And so what should you expect when you read the Old Testament? You should expect to see Jesus, right? So when I was in my spiritual awakening or journey, I guess I would say, and I got a Bible from my grandma and I opened it up and I realized there was this column in between all the verses, and it was this column that had all these verses, these references. I didn't know what it was. I started looking at it and I started reading my Bible and I started reading the verses, and there's these little letters. I don't know if you've looked at your Bible recently, but there's little letters, and on the verse you'll find a word that has a letter next to it, and if you look at the column in between, you'll find some other references that are connected to that letter. So if you do your research long enough, you'll find that a lot of those in that column are Old Testament Scripture. And so then you look back at the Old Testament and you read it, and it's either the New Testament is quoting it word for word, or that word in the New Testament is the same theme or the same idea that the Old Testament was portraying. And so I realized that it was all connected. That it was all connected, that God wrote the Old Testament. He had Moses write the first five books of the Old Testament, and Moses wrote it, and it pointed to, you with me? Jesus, right? And so it was an epiphany for me. And I couldn't believe that they were all connected so intricately, and it actually opened my mind and my heart more to Jesus. So St. Augustine said this, and you can just let this soak in. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. You've heard that. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. Jesus came to reveal everything about himself, and he started with the old and said, look, here I am. I'm right there. Come on, guys. And then he started talking about the kingdom of God, and he basically just blew their minds. And so according to Moses, going back to Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, he wrote about Jesus. And so in John 5, 45 through 47, it says, but do you think I will accuse you? Jesus is saying this to accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. So basically, all these people are putting their hopes into Moses. And Jesus says, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? And so Jesus, again, is just, he's saying, this is, he's talking about himself. He's saying, look, you're going to find me in the Old Testament as well. It's pointing to me. And so this is something that you can also put in your pocket. And when you have a conversation with a Jew that is not yet a believer in Jesus as the Messiah, you can say, hey, you know what? The story about Moses means this. It's connected to Jesus. So I want to look at one more verse here in Luke. And this is a story of after Jesus rose again. And Jesus has risen from the dead. And there are some of the disciples who have gone to the tomb. And they're wondering, what is going on? Jesus is not there anymore. And so two of his disciples are walking to a village called Emmaus. And all of a sudden, somebody starts walking beside them on this road to Emmaus. You probably know the story. Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, I agree. Good job. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. They did not see who he was. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know things that have happened there in these last days?" Jesus says, "What things?" And then they say, about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and indeed before God and all the people. The chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women were amazed, they have amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. They're looking for Jesus, can't find him. And so he said to them, "How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets and all that they have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And then here's what happened. From the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. So what I'm telling you is the New Testament wasn't written yet. What I'm telling you is that Jesus, for 7 miles with these two disciples, walked, and these two disciples had no idea who this guy was. They couldn't see him, spiritually see him as Jesus. And Jesus is explaining all the scriptures to them. And this will give you chills on your back, okay? It's like an epiphany. Oh my goodness. I understand now. So here's what happens. Verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. and he disappeared from their sight. Come on. Just disappeared all, and we just figured it out and it just had this epiphany and all of a sudden we're, and this is what they said, or they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? This is a moment of epiphany. This is a light bulb on top of your head on, right? These disciples figuring it out. They're realizing that, okay, Jesus, the Messiah who's risen from the dead in 3 days, he's fulfilled all of the scriptures that we've memorized for all these years, and we've known all the prophecies and all the patterns and all the pictures and all the typologies, everything that pointed to Jesus, it all came to one head. Right? An epiphany. And so, can you imagine if you were with Jesus or with the disciples on that walk? And he's explaining all of this stuff to you, and you're just, goodness. Listening to Jesus and pointing to all these things. And so we're going to do this for the next few weeks. We're going to look at some of the things that maybe are obscure, that maybe are hard to find in the Old Testament, that maybe you've like scratched your head and you're like, why is Melchizedek, this king, has no heritage or no generational connection with anybody physical, and why is he on earth physically, and he's called Melchizedek, and he's a king, and he blesses Abraham? Wait a minute. Maybe he's Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at some of those pictures, those actual events where Jesus showed up on earth. Are you excited? So what would we find in the Old Testament tells the story that only finds its completion in Jesus Christ? What we find in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and when they come together, the only thing that we find completion in is Jesus Christ. He is the completion of all of that. And so when we look at the Old Testament, we should look at it with fresh eyes. We should look at the Old Testament because it points to Jesus. We should look like we're looking for Waldo. Right? We're looking for Jesus because he is. And why would we do that? Just to prove that he's the Messiah? We should do that because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Because we need more of him. Right? We need more of him in our hearts. We need more of him in our lives. And so he is our hope. To know Christ and to make him known. To know Christ and to make him known. We can't make him known unless we know him. So we need to know him. And how do we know him? We look at all the things that point to Jesus and we invite him in to go deeper into our hearts. Let's pray. God, I believe that you are here present with us today. And we are humbled by that. Lord, we need more of you in our lives. We get distracted. We get sidetracked. We want to do all these other things, and they're good things. But, Lord, I pray that you would be first and foremost on our minds and our hearts this week. May we look for you, not just in Old Testament new, but may we look for you in our lives, in our present day and age life. Would you become more real to us? Would you become deeper? Would we become more in love with you? I ask this in Jesus' name, and the church says, Amen.